Father, we ask you to bless this to our hearts, Lord, as we come to the table of your word. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that, Father, we would leave this place today equipped, excited, and ready to see your favor rain down upon us as believers, as individuals, as a church, and as a nation. So, Father, we ask now that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 19. As we interrupt our normal study to really invite you to embark upon with us a time of seeking the Lord, because we believe it is appropriate and it is timely. The message this morning, I'd like to say the encouragement this morning, is entitled this: You're invited. The Spirit and the Bride say come. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. John says, the Apostle John says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters, and as the sound of a mighty thunderous or moving water, thunderous sound, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen." Different than robes, Christian, I might add. "Clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God." Church, it is probably no stretch for me to be able to say to you, or if not most of you, I have been involved in more weddings than possibly you have. In fact, unless you're a wedding planner or maybe you're a florist, I don't know. But I've been involved in a lot of weddings. I've done more weddings than I can remember that I've done. I'm finding out now when I bump into people, "Oh, Pastor Jack, you did our wedding back in 92. Oh, my goodness. I've done a lot of weddings, and they're all important. But there was one wedding that stands out in my mind that was the absolute most important. And that was my wedding. And thank God, I couldn't find the wedding picture of Lisa and I that I was going to throw up today and put on the wall. You would have seen that. It would have made you scream and run out of the building, probably. But as I looked and that in my mind and revisited that regarding a wedding and getting married, there is nothing, I think, more dynamic than the days leading up to a wedding. For those of you who, is anybody engaged right now? Raise your hand. Anybody engaged? Nobody? Okay, well, for those of us who have gotten married, the lead up to it is very tense. It's very, very filled with pressures. I learned early on that as the husband-to-be, I was just to kind of agree with the stuff that's going on. What color? What color? And I learned quick. What color are the flowers, do you think? Guys, you just say, "Well, whatever. What color do you like, honey?" Amen. Look, guys, tell me. Listen, I'm telling you now. And watch out. But everything's preparatory to that great day. And I don't know about you, but having been born and raised in Southern California, the day of our wedding, it was a very hot June day. I went to the beach and had a great time at the beach that day. But all the while, I kept thinking and kept wondering, what's it going to be like today at 4 o'clock? What's going to happen? And the anticipation builds. And it's quite amazing. And I want you to keep that in mind as we consider of the Lord inviting us to be with Him on these next 40 days. Be thinking about how you get ready to meet the Lord. What if this morning we were able to say to you, the Lord could come back, or He is coming back at, you know, Tuesday at 3 o'clock. If you knew that, what would you do? Would you not do something, church? Would you not somehow make sure at least that you checked all the bases that you're ready to meet Him? Would you make sure that your neighbors knew the Lord? What if He's coming back in a month? What if He's coming back this year? What if He's coming back in 10 years? Christian, have you prepared yourself to do what God has told you to do? In that same spirit, in that same fashion, I want you to be thinking about this invitation to draw close to the Lord. Why are we encouraging you to embark with us upon this fast? The number one reason, write it down if you need to, is that we might draw closer to the Lord because we are not close enough. We need Him more. And let's be honest, He needs more of us as we would yield to Him. Very important. So there's the getting ready of it all. And as we spoke to you on December 30th, you guys remember, those of you who are at this service, I hope you were at that Sunday gathering, that we talked about fasting and that we would be heading off on an embarkation, as it were, to seek God in fasting with many churches across America this year. Well, this year has come, and here it is. And so we want to be ready, and we want to be excited about seeing what God does. And that is causing us to seek Him more fully. And so, by the way, in Revelation 22:17, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him who thirst come, and let all those who thirst, whoever desires, let him take of the water of the life freely." So the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and the church, the bride, says, "Come, come to us." They're saying, the Lord is saying, "Come and drink of the water of life." That would mean that you respond. Revelation 22:20. "He who testifies of these things says," and the letters are written in red, that is, Jesus spoke them, "Surely I am coming quickly." Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. Are you ready to meet the Lord should He come today? Are you ready? Listen, Christian, are we ready as a church? Are we ready as believers to do that thing that God has called us to do? I pray this morning that every believer would be able to say, "Jack, I know what God is telling me to do. Pastor Jack, I know that God has given me this vision or this direction or this ministry to do, and I'm going to be faithful at it." Oh, this is so critical. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you're a Christian, you ought to be able to say, "This is what God has been showing me." And so as we look to this, I'm going to give you 12 things I'm going to ask you to write down and why it's so vitally important. Our focus this morning is on the call that the Word of God there said in Revelation 19, the bride has made herself ready. Does everybody know who the bride is? Do you understand what the Bible says who the bride is? It is the church. And I want to ask you, are you going and are you in the wedding? Every believer, every true believer will be excited about going to this wedding. You see, what does that have to do with fasting? There is no effect more profound in all of the Bible and in all of our lives that connects us closer to the will and to the execution of God's will than when we fast. Some people today will say, "I can tune right out, Jack. I don't need anything from this message at all." And you will go on your way and you will miss it. There are those of you who are here today and you're saying, "I want to know more of what the Bible has to say." Then you've come to the right place. Some of you already, God has been stirring you up to seek Him harder and to know what His heart is like never before. I'm with you in that. 12 things I want to point out this morning. How do we get ready? If beginning on Wednesday morning of this week to come, we begin fasting, how do we do that? Number one, it is this. Because we're desperate and we need Him, number one, we're asking the Lord to break us. Christian, understand that the Bible, this is not strange. If you've been reading the book of Psalms, if you've read through your scriptures, the number one thing that we need to realize, why should we fast and how do we get ready, is to ask the Lord, "Lord, break me." Why? Because, church, understand, there are people in our communities and in our families who are going to hell. They're lost. They have no idea. You and I, we're going to heaven and we're happy about it. Here's the danger part. Are you content to be the one going to heaven? I hope you're not content in being the one that's going to heaven. Because we're going to heaven, we should be burdened in our hearts that the lost live all around us. It could be our husbands. It could be our wives. It could be our kids. When you're driving, when you're in the stores, does your heart not break over the fact that you've got friends in school and in companies and in your neighborhood and they're not going with you? Have you forgotten that? They won't be going unless they're born again, the Bible says. And so I'm asking the Lord, Lord, break me. Break my heart with the things that concern your heart. Oh God, the things that move your heart in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, church, does not God get concerned about abuse and sin and pain? Yes. Are we concerned about those things? All of a sudden, I'm awakened to the fact that I'm not concerned enough about those things. Does it matter to me if my neighbor is surviving or not, or knowing the Lord or not? I can tell you this, I believe it is a lost person who has no appreciation of heaven that can turn and look out over a culture and say, well, it's fine. It doesn't need any help. Oh no, I need God to break us. I need God to break me. And the Bible says in Matthew 21:44, Jesus said, whoever falls upon this stone will be broken, speaking about himself. But whoever it falls upon shall grind him to powder. See, Jack, what does that verse mean in Matthew 21:44? Jesus was speaking that we need to fall upon him and be a broken people. You may not have heard that before. Church, God wants us to be a broken people. You say, Jack, how does that relate to me fasting? When we begin to fast, our flesh begins to freak out. Okay, I honestly need you to respond. How many of you have heard about us, heard about the church getting ready anyway to go on a fast? You've heard the last few weeks. Just raise your hand. Okay, those of you who have raised your hands. Some, listen, knowing that the date is coming up and now it's Wednesday morning coming up. Knowing that it's coming, have you noticed something like I've noticed about me, my flesh? Knowing that it's coming, I've gotten a little anxious. In fact, I'm not going to name his name, but one of the pastors last week said, as we were talking about it, hey, the fast is coming up. And he said, yeah, you know what I'm doing to get ready for that fast? He's making a fatal mistake, by the way. It's the last thing you want to do. He said, man, I've been eating so much food in preparation for the upcoming fast. That's the last thing you want to do. Oh, no. Why? Why is that? Why is it weird? Have you noticed that our flesh is already starting to be concerned about going without? Can you say that your spirit acts the same way when you don't read your Bible? Oh, no. What if I don't get to the Bible today? You see, the flesh will scream out, oh, I've got to have food. Well, I haven't even taken it away from you yet, but I've got to have food. The thought of skipping a meal. You say, Jack, I'm not into some full-blown fast. All right, that's fine. But what if you choose to skip a meal? You will start to think about that meal. Oh, no. Oh, no, I can't eat lunch tomorrow. What am I going to do? Listen, a fast is not a diet. A fast is not going without. A fast is feasting on the Word of God. Instead of not going off to eat, I take that time and I go away with my Lord. You don't diet. I mean, go diet if you need to diet. I'm not talking about dieting. When you begin to seek the Lord and delete those things from your agenda of consumption like that, and you begin to eat the Bible, the website will walk you through that. When you're hungry, what to do, where to read. It's awesome. When you begin to eat the Word of God, guess what's going to happen? Your hunger pain is going to go away. And your flesh will panic. And you guys are going to get so incredibly blessed because you are going to sense a great divide between your flesh and your spirit. As you gravitate more toward the Word of God, you're going to find yourself probably becoming very emotional about things in the Bible that you were never emotional about before. When God speaks about this or about that, you may find yourself almost weeping over the lost or over sin in our community or maybe in a family member, and you're going to weep for their sins. When's the last time you wept over the sins of your neighbor or friend or wife or husband? We're asking God to break us, and He will do it, and it's a wonderful thing. Number two, we're asking the Lord because we're desperate and we need Him. We're asking the Lord to revive us. Can't have revival unless you're broken. We're asking Him to revive us. Psalm 85:6 says, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Church, listen, there is no rejoicing in the Lord unless you've been revived. If you and I can walk our Christian walk absolutely in the sense of complacency, this is the way that it is. Listen, any of you young people, listen to an old man. Young people, listen, I'm not your parent, so I can tell you this. Don't look around at any older people and see their sleepy Christianity and think, well, I guess that's the way it is. You get away from them as fast as possible. You young people, you go get involved where God's moving. And I tell you, when you walk with Jesus, you need to wear a helmet. Because He sends you out there, man, and it is incredible. And I had a phone call this morning at 5:25 this morning because the Sunday service in Africa, which the team we have seen, heard the greatest results of any missions team that this church has ever known, has gone on this last week and a half in Africa. Hundreds of people have come to Christ. It has absolutely been amazing. And the phone call came and the worship, Jeff held up the phone. Jack, you got to hear this. The people were worshiping the Lord. And Jeff said, Jack, this morning's Sunday service has been going on for 3 hours and there's no sign of stopping. How does that sit with you? That is amazing. That is awesome. That should be normal. Christianity, my friend, if it's boring in your life, you need to be revived. You need a revival. If you've settled back and said, well, I guess this is the way that it is, you don't know the God I know. I'm trying to keep up with Him. He's reaching the world. Those people, your friends and family, people that sit with you, they're coming back from Africa next week. And you won't even recognize them. Because everything's been stripped away from them. And it's been Jesus and only Jesus. Nonstop. And when they come home, you're going to think they were on some other planet. I can tell you this. They've been living in some other world. And it's the world that God wants us to experience in revival. Number three, if we're desperate and we know we need Him, we're coming to Him, we're asking Him to hear us. We're asking Him to hear us. Christian, please hear me. Have you ever been, and are you now, so desperate when you pray that you're asking God, oh God, hear me? God, will you not hear me? How's your teenagers? How's your daughter? Is she okay? How's your son? Do you not cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, please hear me? Maybe we don't pray so much because we don't think He's listening. My friend, He's always listening. But Jack, I don't think He hears me. Why? Why do you think that? In 2 Chronicles 7:13 to 15, God said, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, thank you, Lord, for the rain today. Or command locusts to devour your land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, that's break themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, that's only then, will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land, and now my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to prayer made in this place. What place? Well, in that time, it was the Old Testament gathering there at the temple. But what does the Bible say now? Who is and where is the temple of the living God today? Right there. Right in us. And so when we pray, God, are you hearing? Church, when you and I pray, we should know that He's hearing. Does He answer? He'll answer you yes, no, or wait. But if we live a life and we don't get an answer and we're not listening for the answer, we need to hear from Him again. That's why in fasting, my friend, I promise you this. In fasting and seeking the Lord, there's something spiritual that pulls out of our ears. If I had cotton in my ears, imagine me pulling it out physically. Well, if I pulled it out spiritually, maybe you would see a dark fog come out of my ears. And then you'll hear the Lord speak. Church, I want you to take me up on this challenge. If you fast and open your Bible and start reading it, you will be shocked as to what it says. You say, Jack, I don't know if I believe you or not. Then let me come right back at you with this. Why does the Bible tell us to fast? Why does the Bible show us that when the church needed to make a decision, they fasted and prayed before they did anything? Why is it that in South America, in central Mexico, where there's an outbreak now of terrible persecution against Christians right now, just a couple of months ago, a man was horribly tortured for proclaiming Jesus as his Lord and Savior. His village killed him. Why in China, in certain areas of the world, why in certain areas in the Middle East where it's illegal to be a Christian, the Christians who have such little freedom, they're fasting and praying hard to seek God. You don't know why? They're desperate. And I think if we seek God, and as many of the hundreds or thousands across America beginning this Wednesday morning seek God, maybe we can avert some things by seeking the heart of God. Was not God going to bring judgment upon the Ninevites? Wasn't it prophesied by his prophet Jonah? And did not God withhold the judgment because they sought the Lord? And didn't those pagan people say from the king himself, nobody eats. Nobody does anything, even the animals. He said, the animals ain't going to eat. They're not going to eat either. nobody eats. We're going to seek this God of Jonah. Maybe he'll have mercy on us. What did God do? He moved upon a bunch of non-believers. Wow. Do you know this God? I want him to hear us. Number four, to forgive. If we're desperate and we need him, and we are, and we do, so we're asking the Lord to forgive us. To forgive us. I'm going to give you a string of verses. I'll run through them quickly. Jeremiah 3:25. We lie down in shame, and our reproach covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God. Listen, I'm not pointing out anybody. I'm in this group with you. Can we not say this? Ladies and gentlemen, Calvary Church right here now. Can we not say that we have sinned against the Lord our God? Man. And our fathers have sinned from our youth, even this day. And have we not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God? I cannot say, church, I cannot say I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and the Word of God in everything. I can't remember when's the last time I went and visited what I'm commanded to do. I can't remember when's the last time I went and visited an orphan. And yet I'm commanded to do it. When was the last time that I comforted the fatherless or a widow? Look, and that's not a pastoral quiz. It's to every Christian. When's the last time I gave to this work or to any Christian work financially that really set me back in this world? And yet that's the way I'm supposed to give. If I give to God from what I can afford, I've lied to him. Malachi 3 tells me I have robbed him. See, Jack, you're going to confess all your sins today. You just go right ahead, Pastor. When's the last time? You guys, this is a family talk. When was the last time? When's the last time he said to you, tell that man right there, Jack. Tell that woman right there, the third one in line, right there behind aisle number 6, Jack, right there. Tell her that I love her and that I died on the cross for her sins. Number one, you say, Jack, I don't know if God's ever told me to say that. Oh, trust me, he's saying it. You can't hear him anymore. And when he does say it, do we obey him? If we haven't, we have sinned. Now that verse means something to me. Oh, God, forgive me for the things that you told me to do that I didn't do. It's not thou shalt nots all the time. When he says thou shalt, have I? Have I gone to those? Have I met that need? Jeremiah 14:7, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake, for our backslidings are many, and we have sinned against you. Jeremiah 14:20, we acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and our iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. And then Lamentations 5:16, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Asking him to forgive us. Number five, we're desperate and we need him, so we're asking him to restore us. I love these next couple of verses, to restore us. Psalm 85:4, David said, restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease, to be turned away. Someone might say, why should we fast? Why should we fast? Do you think God is not angry with America? You're dreaming if you're Your head's in the sand, in the hole, if you don't think God's angry with America. America not only kills perhaps more children than any country in the world, but we've created laws to do it. And leave it up to the American way, it's a multi-billion dollar business. And if that wasn't enough, leave it up to America to take the remaining body parts and chemicals from a baby and sell it to cosmetic firms. Or chemical corporations to use these things. This has happened in America. But it's easier to turn the eye away. That's why we need to fast and seek God. You may not even believe He's real. You may be laughing at this message. I have no pleasure in thinking and knowing that someday if you hold that view, you'll be wrong and I'll be right. I have no pleasure in that. It's not who can win the most or the biggest. We're talking about eternity in heaven or hell, with God or not. This is a beyond serious issue. That's why I want the Lord to restore us. Number six. Oh, no, I want one more verse. This is a great verse. Remember when David had sex with Bathsheba, somebody else's wife? Remember that? It took him a year to repent. Did you know that? It took 1 year for him to repent of that. And then when he repented of it, he wrote this down. It's Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Before we go on to number six, church, are you excited about your salvation? Are you excited that God can restore you if you have sinned away? You've fallen away, you've sinned away from it, from realizing and experiencing that joy. If somebody goes like this, "Hi, man, what's up? I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, I go to this church or that church. Yeah, I'm a Christian." And that's it? Have you no joy? Have you no happiness in the joy of your salvation? Is it something that is somewhere down in the lower rung of our excitement gauge? Why do we fast? Because I need the world stripped away from my life. Are you hooked on anything? Are you bound by something? Is it smoking? Is it drinking? Is it pornography? Is it lust? Is it envy? What is it? Have you become content to live there? And the Lord says, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Lord, I'll be right there. And you have a ball and chain around your leg? Listen. That's why we fast, because it begins to strip away. When we fast and seek the Word of God, the Lord, becomes so strong that those things in our lives begin to get defeated. I will tell you this. Pick something. Pick some sin in your own life. It's something that you're battling with. Don't say it out loud. Just pick it in your head. Pick it. Now watch this. If you're fasting and seeking the Lord, it's really hard to do that sin. You want to know why? There's a constant awareness that my flesh is getting weaker and weaker, but the spiritual man is getting stronger and stronger. And then when that knock comes on your door or pops up on your screen, or when that addiction to that chemical or whatever it is grabs you again, you will be blown away with how much power you have to say, get back in your hole. Go back. And you'll have victory like you've never known before. Have you ever wondered why some Christians just seem to be blessed and just grow deep in God while others struggle? He doesn't have favorite children. He loves me as much as He loves you. There's no difference. None whatsoever. Yeah, I don't know about that. You can change that perception as you draw close to Him. And don't be surprised. In fact, strike that. Expect those little things that trip you and I up, expect them to start to fall away. And you'll get addicted to God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like Him. And He'll save us, number six. We're desperate and we need Him, so we're asking Him to save us. And I know He saved us spiritually. I know we're going to heaven. I mean something here and now. Isaiah 35:4 says, "Say to those who are fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Behold, He will come and save you." Do you know what it's like to take that verse? Hey, those of you who are young students going to any college or university campus, God bless you. I love you. Stay strong. Don't give up. 88% after 4 years of school, 88% of college kids reject their faith in Christ. Having gone in as Christians, 88% reject their faith in Christ within 4 years. Why? You're not ready. You couldn't answer them. The environment's hostile against you. What a great verse that is. Isaiah 35:4. Lord, save us. I'm fearful of heart. I'm going into my biology class and they hate Christians. And my professor mocks Christians and makes fun of the Bible. Lord, save me. Maybe it's your job and you're going to go to your job and they go, oh, here he comes. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Another big weekend at church, huh? Have you come to save us, Bob? We've all worked in the secular world, haven't we? Isn't it great? I mean, it is great. You don't mess around in the secular world. They watch you like a hawk, don't they? Oh, look at you. When you go to the lion's den tomorrow, you can say, Lord, be my strength and save me from these words or from these people. It's too bad that we don't go to college when we're older. I mean, you know, because that's the big battlefield today, college grounds. It's too bad we don't go to college when we're like 50 and above. Because you know what? After you're 50 and above, I just found this out. I can say this from experience now. I'm 50 and above. I can say, you know what? You can walk into a class. Excuse me. Sit down, teacher. I'm paying for this class. I'm going to tell you something. And then you can say anything you want. After all, it is our class. You don't believe in God? You don't have to believe in God. I do. This is America. If you don't like it, that's just too bad. But the thing is, I can exercise tolerance in agreeing with you to listen to your argument about how you don't like God. But seeing how you're standing in this country, then you have to listen to my argument as to why I believe in God. Because that's how we get along in this culture of ours. I'm not asking you to think the way that I think. I'm asking you that you listen to how I think. Because you want me to listen to how you think, don't you? And that's how you exercise tolerance. That's the real word. Did you know that? Lord, save us. It doesn't mean He keeps us out of class. It means He empowers us in class. And we can challenge those who come against the Lord and His word. Seven, that's going to lead to healing. We're desperate and we need Him, so we're asking the Lord to heal us. Hosea 6:1 says, "Come and let us return to the Lord." Wow, that's enough right there, isn't it? Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. That's the Lord. When things come into our lives that are not always so wonderful, sometimes it's the Lord who has stricken us. He does that, you know, to those He loves. But when we turn to Him, His arms are wide open, which leads to number eight, renewal. We're desperate and we need Him, so we're asking Him to renew us. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." To renew is to rebuild again or to revive. It's to imagine a man laying on the ground and he's passed out and you're doing CPR on him and mouth to mouth and the guy comes back. That's that word to renew or to recreate. We're big on the word vacation, which is rooted in recreation. The root of the word recreation is recreate. That's why you take a vacation. To why? To be recreated. So those of you who don't take vacations or take a Sabbath break, could be Tuesday. My Sabbath's tomorrow. My Sabbath's on Monday. I work on Saturdays and Sundays. My day off's tomorrow. If I don't take a day off, then I will do what I did a couple of months ago, and that's pass out. Very important. You need to rest. God loves that. He talks to you. He renews you. Number 9, He speaks. Don't you want to hear God speak? We all want to hear God speak. Acts 13:2 says that as the church gathered together and prayed, they fasted. And after having fasted and prayed, then the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And there a whole missions ministry began right there in Acts 13:2 through 4. I don't know why I should fast. Don't you want to hear Him speak? Church, this is an exhortation today, if you haven't caught on. This is a little bit of a spank spiritually to get us to see the need that we need to seek Him like never before. Number 10, blessings. Oh, what? Blessings? Yes! That's what I want! Of course you do! It's what I want too! Blessings! We want blessings. Where do the blessings come from? Come from Him. You guys, this may sound arrogant, but I think you guys are responsible for the weather out there. At least the Friday morning prayer team is. We have been praying on Friday mornings for months. Months! God, please send us rain and restore our water levels. Did you know just in this little town that we're sitting in right now, the rain level in the last couple of weeks, month, and last month, it's doubled in the annual average. Thank you, Lord. You know, said, oh, thank you, God. And then, but my car's dirty. But we wanted to, when's it going to stop? Oh, blessings. God gives them to us every day. But listen, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's a big statement. Who said this? A man who's been beaten, shipwrecked, scourged, attempted. Some scholars, I agree with them, said that Paul actually in Corinthians died and God revived them. Who said blessings? Paul the Apostle. I couldn't hang out one day with Paul. You couldn't go anywhere without him, without ducking, rocks flying. Hey, there's Paul, get him, kill him. Can you imagine Paul? He comes to town. Hi, everybody, I'm Paul the Apostle going through. I'm going to head to, where would Paul go? Downtown Pomona, Santa Ana, Hollywood. Oh, would he not go to Hollywood and Vine? That's where Jesus would go. That's where Paul would go. And when's the last time you were in Hollywood and Vine? Are you kidding? I had a friend there. He was from out of the country. He said, I want to see Hollywood. We drove down the street. He said, I quote, get me out of here. And I said, thank God, let's go. That's where Paul would go. And he'd stand on the corner and say, you guys all meet Jesus. They'd be throwing dead cats at him and cans and, oh my goodness. God blesses His people and He wants to bless. 11. We're desperate and we need Him to come to us. Do we not? Church, do we not want to see God move? Ladies and gentlemen, listen. I'm praying something that might really unhinge your life. But I'm asking God to so radically intervene in our lives and in this nation and in this church that we won't recognize one another or this church in the days and the weeks and the months and this year ahead. I pray that God would so pour out His Holy Spirit in such a way that we could not explain what's happening. People coming to Christ, decisions being made, marriages getting fixed, young kids saying, I want to believe in your God too. Churches preaching the Word of God, believers being salt and light without fear. With us as ministers having to come up to almost hold you back rather than try to get you to stand up? Could you imagine? I am imagining. That's exactly what I want to see. Don't you want to see that? I don't want to die without seeing the closest aspect, the closest hint of His face. Somehow Stephen was on earth when he shouted to those in front of him, I see the throne of God, and he who's sitting next to it looks like the Son of God. I believe God wants us to live like this. And we cannot settle for anything less. Which leads us to number 12. Oh, I have to give you a verse for number 11. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we will be like, but we know this, that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's coming. And then 12, we want him to be with us. We want him to be with us. And I'll end with this for time's sake. In Mark 2:18, if you're asking, I don't think I need to do this. Jesus said in Mark 2:18 to 20, as the disciples of John the Baptist came and the Pharisees, they were fasting. They came and they asked Jesus, saying, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered and said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? My disciples are not going to fast while I'm in their presence. They should be rejoicing that I'm in their presence. We eat everything we see because we're rejoicing. As long as they have me or the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and in those days they will fast, says Jesus. If you want to know more, may God use this morning to provoke you to at least come tomorrow night at 7 o'clock to learn more. I love you. And where he wants to go, I want to go. But I will not be content going there alone. I want you to come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And all those who thirst, let them come. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God in heaven, we praise you. And we ask you, Father, that you would prepare our hearts with this message. Now the temptation is, as we leave, to turn on the radio, turn on the game, to push things out. I understand that. But Father, we pray now that you would discipline our thoughts and we'd have a heart for you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Church, if you need prayer for anything, you can stand. If you need prayer for anything at all.